now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Irby Fenchurch. On today's show, who is Claude Calhoun?
Steph talks to lead actors of this theatre production of a true story from Nazi Germany.
And Trans Rescue.
Based in the Netherlands and they're very overworked right now, we catch up with this organisation.
And also, tea and biscuits.
A new support group and their life here in the studio. All that and more today, right here on Shout Out. But I could have done that when I kicked the jingle off, actually. I didn't realise I didn't down
for the volume. I mean, if you want me to sing it for you live every week, I can.
Go on then.
Every time you do that, it's so disconcerting.
Shall I start again?
Actually, to be fair to me, that was pretty in tune. Steph, you didn't join in.
Well, she didn't say she was going to.
You have heard my voice, right?
I have heard your voice.
There you go.
I have heard yeah. Steffi Barney's
voice.
Wow, yeah.
This has started early.
It has.
Good Lord. Usually go 10, 15 minutes into the show before I'm abused.
And hello, Arby. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing? Did I catch you off? Caught me by surprise.
Well, you are co-presenting with me.
Oh, am I? You could have told me.
It's been a long day.
It's been a very long day.
Yeah. It's been a long year.
Oh, dear.
New Pope.
New Pope, yeah. Apparently fairly leftist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, supposedly going to continue. So Robert Prevost is going to become Pope Leo the 14th. And let's hope he carries on the work of Pope Francis, because he was quite good with people who were... had issues, minorities, and including the LGBTQ community.
Well, yeah. Compared with his predecessors, Pope Francis was a breath of fresh air, wasn't it?
Comparatively, the
rhetoric that had come from the Vatican under John Paul II and Benedict had been quite
very right wing,
discriminatory. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good having a left wing Pope from the States as well, because hopefully,
and you can see that in the way that U.S. Catholics vote. I mean, despite the issues over abortion and things like that, most Catholics in the US tend to vote Democrat. They tend to be in favour of reproductive choice and in favour of LGBTQ plus rights, which is nice to know.
The only issue I had, because honestly, out of all the people that, I don't know how to phrase it, that could have been Pope, could have been the Pope, I knew that if it was going to be an American, that Donald Trump's quote was going to really annoy me.
And he did.
It didn't disappoint. He said, it is such an honour to realise that he is the first American Pope. What excitement. And what a great honour for our country. Yeah, because it's all about you, Donald. I look forward to meeting Pope Leo. It will be a very, very, very meaningful moment.
Yeah.
Very meaningful.
Well, I wonder who told him that he wasn't Pope. But that didn't go down well.
It must have been very upsetting.
Anyway, talking about finding out who people are. Who is Claude Calhoun? Is that how you say it?
It's a true story. This theatre production about this Jewish artist from Nazi Germany, and basically his story. And I caught up with the two leads.
Guess what? We're off to the theatre again on Shout Out Radio. Now, who is Claude Calhoun? The true story of a queer artist who defied the Nazis. Now, I'm joined by two of the main, I would say, lead actors, Lydette Lesser and Amelia Armand. Oh, Armand, I love that name. From The Birdcage with Robert Williams. Trust me to think of that. That's one of my favourite movies. Right, let's get straight into it, because it is all about... We won't talk about The Birdcage, honest. Right, how did you get into acting?
The first job I ever wanted to do was to be a giraffe keeper at a zoo. And then I thought that's maybe a bit far-fetched. So, of course, I went into acting, which, couldn't be a more sensible alternative.
I can see where the two are similar. And again, that's a stretch.
And yeah, for me, I've always been very imaginative, and I was kind of packed off to a summer activity, make a play in a week thing by my parents in the hopes that it might be a good outlet. When I was, about 8 years old, and I came back from that going, I'm going to be an actor. And that's kind of been me for the rest of my life.
Okay, so you had a week of lessons, and now you're a pro.
That was it, ready to go.
Absolutely love it. Right, tell me a bit about what's going on now, about the production, because it sounds very serious.
Yes, it is.
It is, although we're finding a lot of joy in it as well, which I think is very important, to have some queer Jewish joy, as well as the resistance and the deep danger and the terror of looming fascism. The joy is incredibly important, and we've definitely been tapping into that already. We've only just begun, really, but it's been a beautiful process of getting to know all the cast and exploring these themes and with a lot of heart and sensitivity, the space that our director and our writer have made feels incredibly caring and keeping at the heart of what this play is about, which is, uplifting this queer, trans, non-binary Jewish story.
Pretty pertinent, though, isn't it, to what's happening in the world now with fascism on the rise?
It's really heartening in some ways to be working on a story like this, because it's a historical story. This, the people in this story did exist. This story actually happened. And so to be experiencing this story of resistance against fascism that was done by queer artists as a queer artist it lights a fire in your belly.
Mm. Do you feel a weight on your shoulders, though? This, because it is a true story, is a different level, isn't it?
Absolutely, especially as, as the play says, these artists were only really exhibited once in their life in a little bookshop in Paris, and that was it. And there is a great wealth of photographs that they created and artworks and writing, but very little is known about their life, really. So we're kind of, Roland, the writer, has gone into great detail in research, but there's a lot that's unknown, and that's beautiful, because we can sort of find our own approach to that and offer things based on our respect for them and what we do know. But it is, as you say, it's a huge weight, because it's like we want to honor these real people who truly lived and who were extraordinary. I think that's the goal at the heart of it, is to really honor them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's true across the board for the different performances from the different actors. We've got a cast of five with people playing multiple roles, and all of the characters are being treated in that same kind of curious, sensitive approach, with the understanding that these were real people and their lives were complex and multifaceted.
Mm. Does it mean with only five people that there's lots of quick changes where you have to run off stage, change and come running back on?
Yes, I think from what we've been doing, there is going to be a lot of dashing off and changing into costume. It's not so much for us, really, because we stay as the same characters throughout, but the rest of the cast are going to be working their socks off. They're going to do a great job.
Yeah.
Quite a challenge then. So some of your co-actors will be coming on stage a little bit out of breath, I'm guessing.
Seamless. Absolutely seamless.
Before we run out of time, let's get, we need bums on seats. So if you could tell us where you're performing and the timings and where people can get tickets.
Yes. So Who is Claude Kahn is playing at the Southwark Playhouse Borough from the 18th of June to the 12th of July.
Okay.
And you can buy your tickets from Southwark Playhouse.
Excellent. Okay. Now, so people can follow you on social media just so they can keep an eye on what you're doing and where your careers are going. What's your social medias?
Sure. Mine is, I believe, at lilit.orly, lilit.orly, sorry, dot underscore orly, O-R-L-Y.
And I am Vady Amelia, T-H-E-Y-D-Y Amelia. And for the production company, you want to be looking for www.drharts.org.
Thank you. We got it all in. Thank you so much, both. And I guess all I can say now is break a leg.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Always on the Run by Isaac. Hello, Lucy.
Hello, Andy.
Did you like that one?
I did, yeah. Yeah, it's got a like a beat behind it. It feels like you're going places. It's got the word run in the title. Yeah.
So I'm trying to play a few in the build up because it's Eurovision next week. And we're doing a Eurovision show next week, aren't we? Which I'm looking forward to. So I've got you a treat later on as well. I've got you know our entries by Remember Monday.
Yes. This we heard year. It the other week,
They have sung Husvik, which is from the film. And I've got that for you later on, so you can hear what that's like.
They're not going to do well. Okay, so Rachel,
They're not doing the film one that you liked.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. She didn't actually sing it in the film, but she really looked convincing. And yeah, okay, fine, all right. No.
Is Remember Monday.
Okay, well, I liked their song, so that's good. Awesome.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Why not? This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
The centre-left newspaper The Guardian this week surveys women's refuges from across the United Kingdom and finds a very different situation to that portrayed by right-wing newspapers or their wealthy backers. Far from transgender women invading their spaces and threatening single cisgender women, trans plus people are a vital part of the movement against heterosexual male violence. Trans women have never felt like a risk or a threat or a problem, says Katie Russell, the chief executive and co-founder of the service Support After Rape and Sexual Violence Leeds. She continues, whilst I can't speak for every individual over the last 15 years, I honestly cannot think of an example where our trans-inclusive policy has been a problem for a service user. Immediately after last month's Supreme Court judgment, which ruled that transgender women could be legally excluded from single-sex spaces, Refuge, the UK's largest domestic abuse organisation, confirmed it would continue to provide services to trans people. However, Women's Aid England, which represents more than 180 member services, reiterated that the provision of single-sex domestic abuse services was a founding principle. Rape Crisis England and Wales acknowledged that the definition and provision of women-only spaces remains a powerfully emotive topic within the women's sector. Both RCEW and WAE run as federations, meaning individual refuges and centres are free to define whether women only includes or excludes trans women. The majority of services had not encountered regular questions about their trans policy from women seeking help. People have other things they are worried about, says one manager, and reported very low numbers of trans women using their services, similar to that in the general population.
Australian gay magazine DNA marks its 300th issue, now available in the UK at branches of WH Smith. It is one of the few gay magazines still appearing in print. I beg your pardon. I have a frog in my throat this evening. The anniversary edition includes features on the gay male body and why straight society is so afraid of it. The magazine also features articles on grooming, fashion, clubbing, and a roundup of international LGBTQIA plus news.
Environmental charities such as Greenpeace are alongside LGBTQIA plus people in being targeted by the right-wing administration in the United States. Indeed, Kelsey Warren, the billionaire chairman of Energy Transfer and an enthusiastic Trump supporter, said anti-pipeline activists should be removed from the gene pool. This sinister reasoning finds echoes across political movements, left, right and centre, where many people fear that public protest could be criminalised and the state given powers to harass and worse, physically hurt people who advocate anything other than that believed by the government. Greenpeace spokespeople said, "We're seeing a dangerous pattern emerge. Oil and gas corporations have known since the 1950s that fossil fuels cause global warming and reportedly spent billions trying to cover up the science. Now the evidence is clear for all to see. They're not only ignoring it, they're trying to silence those who champion science so they can keep making eye-watering profits."
International campaign network All Out reports that women's and LGBTQIA plus, as well as secularist and liberal groups, have come together in Kenya to oppose a conference by a rather extremist anti-women section of organisations such as Family Watch International. They say in just a few weeks, Boma Hotel in Nairobi, which is owned by the Kenya Red Cross, is set to host a conference backed by global hate groups such as CFAM, Citizen Go, Ordo Luris and Family Watch International. The event, which is disguised as a family values gathering, brings together organisations that have pushed for dangerous anti-LGBT plus and anti-women legislation across Africa. And it's happening with the quiet support of an institution, the Red Cross, that's supposed to stand for dignity, humanity and inclusion. So, we're calling, they say, on the Kenya Red Cross and the Boma Hotel to cancel the booking and take a public stand against hate. Will you join us? You can sign the petition at allout.org.
Petition website Avaaz is also appealing for support as it is trying to help at least 50 women immediately escape the Taliban. They cannot tell their names for their own safety, but they are mothers, sisters and daughters who have bravely resisted and protested against one of the world's most brutal regimes. In Afghanistan today, it's essentially illegal to be a woman in public. They can't get an education, go out alone or even sing. When the women dared to speak out, they faced violence and were hunted by the morality police. After fleeing to Pakistan with their families, they are about to be sent back to the Taliban government. These women face being imprisoned, tortured or raped. There is a fundraiser to help them escape. To donate or find out more, visit Avaaz, that's avaaz.org.
And in lighter news, the media website RCS reports that gay hero George Michael has topped the all-time charts as compiled by listeners to the national radio network Smooth Radio. His song, Careless Whisper, has once again been voted the UK's favourite in Smooth Radio's all-time top 500. The song took the number one spot for the seventh year running, following more than 42,000 votes cast by listeners. The full countdown aired across the May bank holiday weekend, and Careless Whisper was confirmed as the number one shortly before 7 o'clock on Monday evening. George Michael is the most featured artist in this year's countdown, with 19 songs, including 13 solo tracks. A Different Corner reached number three, and his duet with Elton John, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, came in at number 9. Elton John, for his part, returned to the top 10 for the first time since 2017 and is the most featured living artist within the chart this year with 13 entries. LGBTQIA plus icons and allies ABBA achieved a record 16 entries in the chart, with Dancing Queen at number 10 and the winner takes it all at number 25.
Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to keep up to date with LGBTQIA-friendly media in your area, and we will be back next Thursday. For Shout Out News, this has been Lucy Potter.
And Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
We all know how things are going around the world, especially since the UK was hit with Brexit. Hate crime went through the roof. Since Trump started his second term of office, he's actually compounded the world problems and is really being heavy-handed and pushing the LGBTQ community, especially trans women, into the earth, or trying to. There's lots of organizations out there that are actually trying to help, and one of those is based in Holland, and I'm speaking to Anne Ogborn. Hi Anne, welcome to Shout Out.
Thanks, I'm glad to be here.
Okay, first of all, give me a bit of backstory of how the organization got started.
The organization got started in 2016 or thereabouts, when I ran into Missy Hill, online, we were both American trans women trying to get out of the United States because we kind of saw what was coming. We both were complaining about the lack of information for getting out of the U.S. as a trans person. So we decided to do something about it, but we decided we would wait until we ourselves were out. So nothing much happened for a couple of years. 2020, we finally both were in a, well, Misty was in a space to get something started shortly afterwards. I started having enough time to help out. So we operated as a trans emigrate for about 18 months, but there was a loose network of activists with no formal structure, and that wasn't really appropriate for the extremely serious work we were doing. We needed more of an organizational structure, so we reorganized as Trans Rescue, and sometime during Trans Emigrate's tenure, I took over as director. So that's my personal history with it.
Now, you came from the States, but you're not actually focused on people in the States, are you? You're focused on helping anyone who needs help from any country.
We're focused on helping anyone. This year, we have a strong focus on the United States because we think it's where the danger is. We're not certain what's going to happen with Trump, but we're concerned that that things might get very ugly. If you're in Uganda and you're queer, you know you're in danger, and you are hiding it. If you are queer in the United States, you're out and loud and proud, and if things suddenly get dangerous, it's going to be disastrous for a very large number of people. For that reason, we're concerned. We divide countries into three groups: safe, dangerous, and countries a new concern. This would include the UK and the US, countries that were once safe but are now becoming quite problematic. And those range, there are more problematic countries, Hungary, for example, and then there are, but all of these are countries where our method is we want to educate people, we want to provide resources for people to figure out how to get themselves out, unlike, say, Saudi Arabia, where we will do almost rescue mission style rescues.
Have you seen an uptick from trans people of the UK trying to get assistance to get out of the UK and into the European Union countries?
Yes, it's gone up dramatically in the months prior to the Supreme Court ruling. We were receiving one or two a month, maybe four a month, inquiries from the UK, and we've had easily over 100, 150 since the Supreme Court ruling.
When people do get in touch with you, what do you hope is the outcome for those people?
That they are informed and capable of getting themselves out, or that they end up out of wherever they are. Occasionally, the best thing for a person is not to leave the country they're in, even if it's fairly dangerous. But it's to help them find the best outcome that we can, whether that's somebody in an extremely dangerous country like Saudi Arabia, where the only reasonable option is get the hell out of there, or the somewhat more nuanced world of, for example, the UK or the US. We always find, we always want to work with that person's perception of what's going to happen. We're not here to say what we think will happen within reason, but we're instead here to help people think through and prepare a reasonable plan of escape based on what they think will happen. The 1951 UN Convention on the Rights of Migrants and Refugees lays out, along with its 67 protocol, lays out a set of conditions under which the common law rule of non-refoulement applies. That 67 protocol lays out an 8-condition test. While conditions in the UK are bad and getting worse, they do not currently approach the level needed for a successful asylum claim for most trans people. There are probably exceptions, but the average trans person in the UK would not be advised to pursue an asylum claim. And certainly no country is simply going to pass out passports. That doesn't happen.
What do you see your organization doing going down the line? What have you got planned for the future? Are you looking at expansion, more people to help?
We are trying to expand as rapidly as we can. There is dramatically more need than we have capacity. I turned down a request for help from two people in Afghanistan recently because they weren't in enough danger. I don't like doing that. Being in Afghanistan immediately puts you in a huge amount of danger.
It's good that you compare, you know, brutal regimes like Afghanistan, where the danger is hugely heightened, to a modern Western democracy like the United Kingdom that wants to have closer ties again with the European Union. And the European Union is quite strict on the rules and regulations of countries it allows to do trade with, which is a lovely power to have. And Union is still very left-leaning, despite countries like Hungary. We're supposed to be left-leaning currently with the Labour Party, but they're almost as right-wing as our Conservative Party. So we've seen really no change. In fact, it's got worse for the LGBTQ community. Okay, so how can people get in touch then?
We have a website at transrescue.org. There's a big donation button on the website. If there's folks want to volunteer, it's volunteer@transrescue.org. And we have a list of current volunteer opportunities listed on the site.
Okay, and thanks very much for joining us, Shout Out. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Remember Monday and Husevic. You must know the song from the film. You haven't seen the film yet. You've got to watch the film.
I'll give it a bash.
Yeah, really, really good, really good. But yeah, they are the group that are singing our Eurovision entry, and we're doing Eurovision next week, which will be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you
like that version? You do like that version.
Lovely,
isn't it?
Yeah. I think we've got a good chance this year with them.
Between 8 and 12 bookies, odds are, which will be amazing. It'd be better to be that than nul point that we normally get, isn't it?
That'd help, wouldn't it, really?
So I don't think we've won in years, have we? The last time we won, it was
Katrina and the
Waves. That's it, Katrina and the Waves. Yeah. Do you like that song?
I don't think I've seen the movie properly, but I've heard it in cultural context. Very good.
The, I mean, the original version of that, I absolutely love it. It's a real, like, put hairs on the back of your neck type thing, isn't it? So, anyway, we're talking. I love the name. I've got to say, I love the name of our next feature called Tea and Biscuits. We're joined by two lovely people. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
So I'm Clea, you say them pronouns, and...
Hi, I'm Dana, she, her pronouns.
And you come to talk to us about tea and biscuits. Who got the name? Who thought up the name? I've got to ask first.
We had a very democratic vote which ended up with me picking the name Bristol Tea and Biscuits. It was a little bit fixed. We put it out to with like a community run kind of collective, and so I put it out doing the sort of democratic thing, put it out to everybody. One of our first sort of things was to get people to come up with names, and I saw that one and I chose four other bad ones to put in with the election. It was good for the branding.
You do know you're now telling everyone live on radio that that's what you did, and they might be listening. So, but anyway, give us a bit of background. What is Tea and Biscuits? What have you set it up to be?
So, yeah. Oh, no, go on, Dana.
So Tea and Biscuits is a monthly run meetup for trans people in Bristol. Super friendly, super low key. It's a particularly sober meetup. The main idea is, it's been a long running meetup, but it sort of stopped as people moved away, and we really wanted to reinvigorate it because it's really, really important to have a place where, if people aren't sure where to go, where to meet people, there is a first place that is super friendly, super welcoming. No one's going to be turned away, and if you're awkward or nervous, it's not going to be a problem. So we've put a lot of effort into over the past year of really cultivating that space, and that's Tea and Biscuits, and it's become it's got this really regular membership. It's become this really, really positive thing, and we've been able to bring in a lot of new people into the trans Bristol community through it.
Yeah, and I think I've been along to some of these meetings. It's a great place for somebody to get to grips with the fact that they're coming out to themselves, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, so much of early transition can be really isolating on so many levels, and one of the most useful things is to meet another trans person, particularly another trans person who's a year or two ahead of you, and be like, okay, it's not necessarily like this forever. It is not constantly explaining things to people forever. It gets to be fun, it gets to be nice, I get to be with people who understand. And I think for some people it feels like transition is this thing you have to sort of move through to get to that space of community. But like, community organizations we really want to create community organizations which are welcoming to everyone. There is no barrier to entry for being trans enough or being far enough along in your transition to be able to come. And I think that's really important to us as part of a space.
Yeah, 100%. I think if you're asking yourself the question, am I trans enough? The answer is yes. Yeah,
my husband asked me if I'm gay enough.
Are you?
I don't know. I try. So how many people have you got coming along?
We regularly have sort of anywhere between sort of 40 to 50 people coming on the regular. We've got quite a large sort of network of maybe a few hundred people that we sort of see sporadically throughout a period of a year.
Right, and is the aim also for it to be like a friendship type thing as well, not just a...
For sure. So to give kind of a bit of background to the previous group that this was based on that Dana was alluding to, when I first moved to the city 2-3 years ago, as a newly out trans person, I didn't have any sort of community. I moved to the city to find community. And it kind of, through shout out to Do Hub, I had a non-binary barber who was like, you should go and check out this space. And I went there without knowing absolutely anybody in Bristol, and within the space of about a month, my social calendar got so busy. I found my chosen family there. I met Dana through extremities of some of those people. Basically, everybody that I spend time with now, for the most part, within the community, I met and found there. And we really want to try and get people their first kind of queer friendships, find their sort of found family, and their sort of broader family as well.
What kind of things? I mean, because it's all over the news. I mean, considering it's probably the smallest minority there is, it gets so much attention, so much horrible publicity. It's nice to see some of the rebuke coming back of, you know, people coming out and saying, actually, no, shut up. You know, I mean, it's terrible. We've seen that too. But, you know, do you find people are a bit too scared to approach things like this? What would you say to someone who's a bit too shy in the first place? How do you get over that and come along to a group?
I just to give some sort of examples, we've had people that have turned up. One of the really important things I think for this kind of community organizing is to have something that's regular and is a regular drumbeat, because the first three times that somebody tries to get somewhere, they're not going to. They're going to leave the house and they're going to sort of decide to come back home. They're going to wait outside for ages before coming in. And then on the third time, they're finally going to come in. And we've had people that have turned up. There's one person in particular I think of, just completely in all black, wearing a hoodie up, a face mask on, hugging their bag, and just absolutely terrified to be in that space, because it's not so much being in the space, but it's what that means. It's for a lot of people the first time of accepting that they're trans, and that is a big, terrifying, awful thing. But through exposure and seeing the positive side and the really wonderful friendships and relationships that exist among trans communities, that those walls start breaking down and those people start getting a little bit more confident, a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more able to take the next steps they need to.
But is it okay, because there could be some people listening who aren't sure yet and may not know anyone or know anyone to talk to, and maybe listening thinking, well, there's a whole bunch of people there who I could ask a question that they've already known the answer because they've been through it. Is that also something that's allowed? That can they come along and say, I don't know. I don't know if I want to start this journey or not. And I don't know if I am trans.
I think one of the most notable things about being transgender, particularly when you're not out, when you're not necessarily in the scene or even in like the queer scene of a city, is like you might well be the first trans person you've known, or you might only know one or two. It can be really intimidating and it can feel like a thing you have to... like a burden you have to shoulder entirely on your own. But it's not the case, I think. If you go to these community spaces, what you find are people who have the same experiences. And I think the biggest thing I would say to people who are feeling nervous about coming is, getting to be in trans community is an opportunity to kind of shake that feeling of needing to be solely responsible for like transsexuality, for your gender identity. It's a thing you can share. It's a thing you don't have to have mapped out perfectly, because I think one of the most important things of it is it's really hard to feel good about being trans for like a year, 2 years. I mean, pushing three, it can be, the early transition can be really tricky, particularly as you're navigating all the upheaval it can present in your life. For the first couple of years, the easiest way to connect with a feeling of not just like acceptance, but gratitude for being transgender is by being around people who've been around the block a little bit longer than you have. And also helps connect you to this history, this passage, and this history, these people who've come before you. And I think that's one of the most important things about being in trans community, is you don't have to deal with it all on your own. And I think that's why I'd say to anyone who is like feeling a little nervous, you can just come, you can just show up, and if you want to leave, you are totally welcome to, but you, however you're feeling, you are not alone in that. And as you're ready to open yourself to other people of those same experiences, I think that learning to not be afraid of that connection and community is one of the most important skills you can practice. And it's really difficult in transition. And that's, I think, the importance of having these really safe, really friendly spaces.
You mentioned that is welcoming to trans people at all levels. So, whether you've got a starter pack or you've been... and whatever age, whether you're 4 years old or
18 and above.
But do you cater for the people that are trying to support that individual? Like, parents might want to get a greater understanding, a partner might be upset that they don't know enough about the trans world.
So,
do you cater for the partners coming along and parents?
So, the central focus of the space is trans people. Obviously, we can speak to people, we can figure something out, but the space is mainly for trans people to kind of mingle and get along. That doesn't mean a kind of firm no to other people coming along, but I think one of the values of being able to be this sort of community, basically a focal point you can point to and say, if you want to get started meeting trans people, that's the place to go, is it's very likely, if your question is, I'm starting this, I want to meet people, but also my partner's really struggling with this, do you have any resources? We're going to be able to help with that or signpost you towards someone who can. So the space itself is definitely very much focused on trans people, to the extent we wouldn't want to potentially... We would very much want the focus to be on welcoming newly out trans people and making sure they feel as comfortable as possible. But in terms of as a service and how we sit in the ecosystem of Bristol Trans Services, we're of course going to be totally supportive, because
it may be something that might be worth doing as a separate thing. You could quite easily have a night that, because I get it. I'm guessing the whole point of it is, while the world should be a safe place, no one need to worry at all. We know it's not like that. It's not like that for a lot of people in the LGBT community. Yeah. But there's nothing like being able to switch off and being around people the same as you and not have to go through all that judgment and all those things. But I do get Steph's point. It is something that's very difficult for a lot of other people to understand. I mean, I'm the generation, my parents didn't understand what being gay was. It took them like about 8 to 10 years to come to terms with that, but then my parents are in their 80s. I I'm not related to anyone trans. My trans friends are all here, but I know from speaking to my dad, because he listens to the show, loves the show, he's met Steph, he's met Tara, loves them, think they're brilliant. He doesn't understand trans, and he's forever asking questions because he doesn't understand it, and he's like, I'm not sure I'd know how to support you if you've gone through that, son. And it's one of those things that, you know, they often need help so they can carry on that support when people are not with you in that network.
It's definitely a balance, but I think for us, I think it's really important to have a space where people, like, I think for newly out trans people to be able to feel like they can just switch off in that way, that sense of, it is a space where there is a lot of education, there is a lot of networking, there is a lot of community organising, but those things are not the primary focus of the space. The primary focus of the space is togetherness.
And it is over 16 years old, is that
Over 18, but we regularly have people from 18 up to 80 plus. Okay. Just
licensing and stuff.
Yeah, so my kind of thing with this is there's a certain level of discomfort that trans people experience. Basically, every trans person I've ever spoken to experience when they're in a space with cis people. And one of the most magical things about Tea and Biscuits is there is just something really, really ethereal about being surrounded by people who just get it, who just understand who you are, who don't question you, who you just know are on your side. And no matter how well-meaning cis people can be, sometimes that isn't something that, even if it kind of is guaranteed, you don't necessarily feel that. There's an inherent anxiety that's always there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it is a history repeating itself. I remember in the 90s, it was like that being gay. You know, back then, a nightclub or whatever could be just gay only and gay men only, and you know, you worried if straight people came in, because the chances are if they wanted to, they'd kick off and beat you up, and you know, it was totally legal back then, they could and the like. So I totally get where you're coming from. So what's the future plans?
I mean, I think the future plans is mainly just continuous we've been going. I mean, we're getting a lot of feedback in terms of what works and what doesn't, but I think we've hit a really nice rhythm of, in terms of a balance of activities, sort of free time, that people are very naturally and organically do the thing we'd like people to do, which is just chat and mingle and get along. And I think one of the really positive things which has happened, I've noticed over the past year, is like people can come and sort of be the nervous person, and within 6 months they're the person welcoming in new people. And I think being part of that process is where we'll go. So I guess the evolution of TMB is probably going to reflect the evolution of the Bristol trans ecosystem in general. And I think as that gets stronger and healthier, as more and more trans people are out of public, then I think the Bristol trans scene is only going to get stronger, and the communities and events within it are only going to get, not just themselves stronger, but also more connected. There's going to be more fluidity. So,
and how do you pick what you're going to do? Do you pick it, or do you let them suggest it and you still pick the one you want and put rubbish ones in?
In terms of events, we have Emily, who is just a fantastic game designer, who comes up with the most wonderful activities for us to do. Normally, they're always very well received, and they're always very interesting, and they take twists and turns that I never.
I'm only taking the mickey because of what you said at the start of the show about the date. You know, so.
We're very democratic.
So we are running out of time. We're almost out of show, actually. So before we kind of wrap it up, how do people get hold of you? How do they find out more?
So bristoltnb@gmail.com. That's TNB the letters, Tango and Bravo in the NATO alphabet. Also on Instagram under the same name. Get in touch there. That's going to be the easiest way to find us. Shoot us an email, get in touch, we'll let you know when and where it's running. It's a sort of monthly event. We'd love to hear from as many people as possible, and even if you're nervous, even if you're not sure it's for you, shoot us an email, we'll get to chat.
Yeah, we're always happy to chat.
Cool. Well, it's lovely to hear it's also got so many people already, so but yeah. You know, it's nice. It's definitely a needed thing at the moment. I hope it changes, I really do, because it's, you know, things feel like they're going backwards for the whole community, but it seems the focus is very much on trans at the moment, so you know.
Well, I think the one thing I'd say I've learned as a trans person is that, like, it can be really, really difficult to be on your own reading the news, and in a room full of people, you're laughing, you're having a good time. Yeah, sometimes you got to talk about serious stuff and process that as a community, but trying to solve the news by thinking about it enough is a loser's game. Being around people you love and opening yourself to new connection is always going to be the way forward, and that's a thing which it can take time to build up to. And we want.
And it takes time to educate non-trans people, cis people as well. You know, there's a lot of that's got to happen, because there's a lot of misconception out there and a lot of things not really understood, isn't there?
I think it's true, but I think in my experience, cisgender people don't necessarily need to understand the ins and outs and the literal mechanics of transition as much.
Well, they just need to understand it's okay.
Yeah, but I think the empathy is a human thing, and I think the thing I found from cis people is I was very nervous when I was first being trans in a workplace. Actually, people are nice. People connect me as a human being. So there is education, but we care about trans people more because they're better.
Well, reach out, go join them, have some tea and biscuits. Anyway, that's it for this week. If you do want to get in touch with us, you can do so on our socials or via our website.
Head to shoutoutradio.lgbt to get in touch. It's also where you'll find this show and many others.
Next week is Eurovision. Looking forward to that. So, and then we get to party that weekend. It's like the gay Olympics, isn't it? It's like shut down everything. For myself and the rest of the team, though, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for having us.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.